All right, you can be turning your Bible to the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs in chapter number 8, if you would, please. And I want to read this text from there. And then I want to bring a message, just a thought. Oh, I don't know if I can drag this thing. This man give me man a heart attack more than preaching the Bible, I think. I land. I'm glad we're not on live streaming or anything. But I'll read our text and then I'll explain a few things to you, why I've chosen this text and why I'm preaching from it tonight. Proverbs chapter number 8, and I want to begin reading in verse number 22. The Bible said, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there." When He prepared the heavens, I was there. "When He set a compass upon the face of the earth. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment. When He appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by Him, as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the inhabitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll bring the thought that is on our heart tonight. Our Father, we are so grateful for the Sunday school hour tonight and for the privilege we have to assemble together in the house of God. I pray that You'll bless our hearts together. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of preaching. I'd ask You to stir my heart with grace and glory. Help me to speak forth words of righteousness and truth. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing to Your people. I do pray for those that's away from us tonight, especially those that are sick. I ask You to give them grace and divine mercy, and those, Lord, that are in brokenhearted or grieving, I pray for them. I ask You to touch them and bless them. I ask You, Lord, to help each family that's having troubles and problems and trials of life tonight. May the Spirit of God move and bless and help in a wonderful way. Give grace now as we do our best to stand tonight and preach that which You've laid upon our heart. Save sinners and glorify Your name. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to begin tonight by just simply saying that this passage of Scripture is one of many, really many verses or many passages that I could have chosen to preach from and bring the thought that God has laid upon my heart tonight. Because it's a very common thought to be found in many places in the Bible. And but I chose this for a particular reason. The Scriptures that I just read, if you read them in the context they're in, it's in probably in reference to wisdom. Wisdom being with God before the world ever was. And, you know, the Bible said with all getting, we better get wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is life. The Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And so we could say that this is a conversation or a statement that wisdom is making in reference to its contact with God, or its relationship, rather, with God. Or we could look at it, prophetically speaking, which I really believe that it does. And prophetically speaking, it could be in reference to Christ. Christ was with the Father in the beginning. And it could be referring to the relationship of the Son to the Father in times past, in eons of time past, before the world ever was. And but, you know, in reality, Solomon wrote this passage of Scripture. And in reality, I believe it's speaking about the relationship that Solomon had with David, his father. And if you'll read down through here, you'll find that they had a wonderful relationship with one another. There's no question about that. Solomon looked at his father as a very honorable man, and he was. And it talks about the life that they had together and how that he rejoiced in the inhabitable parts of the earth, and his delights were with the sons of men. But I want to take really just the thought tonight, as this being some verses, some statements made between a father and a son. And I want to preach to you for a little while, if the Lord will help me on this thought. Everybody needs a father. Everybody needs a father. And, you know, I'll tell you what really gave me the thought for this message. During the meeting at Brother Shepherd's, I heard once again the testimony from Brother Ryan McGuire. Brother McGuire preached a tremendous message on the book, the blood, and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he preached a tremendous message. And in that message, while he was speaking about the blood, he gave his testimony again, how he was raised in the projects and was raised up a poor boy without a daddy, never knew who his father was, and still has no earthly idea who his biological father is. He even told the story about how that he went to the hospital with a certain man that they had his mother thought probably could very well be his father. And they did blood tests. And they came back in a negative way, that this man could not have been Brother McGuire's biological daddy. So they did another blood test. And that blood test came back the same way. And Brother McGuire stood there and spoke about how he had never had a daddy. He had never had a father. And it set my heart to thinking how that everybody needs a father. Amen. There's no question about it. Everybody needs a father. Every child deserves to have a father. And yet becoming a godly father, one who is really honest, one who is really honorable, and one who is really holy, comes only by sacrifice. Gentlemen, you cannot be a real father to your child without paying some kind of sacrifice in order to do that. You've got to give yourself rather than taking from that family. You've got to give to that family. And rather taking from that son, you've got to give to that son. I believe I read somewhere where Paul said the parents lay up for the children, and not the children laying up for the parents. And so to be an honest and honorable and a holy father comes by a sacrifice and great cost, not necessarily money cost. And it does cost money, by the way, to raise a family. When you young folks in here, you need to stop and give that a little thought. You that are not married, one of these days you're going to get married. And mommy and daddy's not going to be buying shoes. And they're not going to be buying pants and shirts and all the name brand clothing that we wear these days. That responsibility is going to lie with you or with your husband, one of the two. And you're going to find out that it costs a little bit more to raise a family than what you think it does. And young man, you're going to find out that it takes a whole lot more, there's a whole lot more responsibility involved in raising a family than what you might think there is. It's going to cost you something. If you're going to be the kind of a daddy or a father that a daughter or son deserve, it's going to cost you something in your life. You're going to have to sacrifice some of your time. You're going to have to sacrifice a lot of your time. And you're going to have to spend time with that child. And in order to discipline and raise that child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I've kind of split the message up in two ways. I want to say some things about our Father, Heavenly Father, and then some things about the earthly Father. But you know, and this may sound strange when I say it, but listen very carefully to it. We can only have one Father. I'm amazed at how many times you'll stop and think how many things there are that you're only one of. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God. He said, beside me, there is none else. There is only one begotten Son of the Father. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there can only be one Father. No child can possibly have two fathers. And I say this as cautiously as I know how. It makes no difference how many men a woman may have had. Just one, those men, can be a child, can be the father of the child that woman bears. There's no question about it. Now, others, and there are others, may try to take the place of a father. I'm talking about as far as adoption, or as far as a man marrying someone that's already has a child, and they may do a pretty good job of it. But I'm simply telling you that nobody can take the place of a real father. And we've got some sorry daddies in the world today. I preached some time ago on something about a real loving daddy or something like that. They had a picture of a fellow on the front page of the Messenger, and they had him, they had picked him up and arrested him for non-support of his family. And he had a t-shirt on, and on that t-shirt it had the world's greatest dad. And I thought, my, I'm going to tell you, that fellow, they need to get that shirt off of that guy, because if he's not willing to take care of his children, he's certainly not the world's greatest dad. Now, I want to say this right from the beginning. A father will provide for his children. He'll make sure they have the provisions that they need in life. There's no question about that. But there can only be one daddy, only one father. No one can replace him. Many may try, but nobody can replace him. And it's simply because of our relationship. Now, we've only got one Heavenly Father, and I won't say this, that I don't believe you can find in the Old Testament anywhere where God is called a father. He could not be a father until he first had a son. And his son was, the first son was the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so God could not be called a father until he first had a son. There may be some wannabes in here tonight, but all you can want, all you want to. But you're not a father until you father a child and become a parent. And then you're a father. And that is because of the relationship. Notice what it said in 1 John 2:29. He said, if we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. I won't say not that I'm glad that God is my Father. Amen. I tried to count in Strong's how many times the word Father is mentioned, even in the Old Testament, when it talks about the patriarchs and so forth and their children, and in the New Testament, how many times that it was Jesus, or how many times the Lord was referred to as Father. I quit counting. A number of times, numerous times, that word is mentioned in the Bible. Now, I won't say that I'm glad tonight that I'm born of God. I'm not God's stepchild. I'm not God's stepchild. I was born of God. By the way, you're not adopted into a family. You're born into families. Families are made by the birth of children. Now, our adoption has not got here yet. I preached that till I'm about blue in the face. But we're going to be adopted when our body is redeemed. And we're son placed. We've never been son placed. That's what adoption means, is son placed. I've never been son placed yet. But I'm birthed into the family of God. I have been born again.
Amen.
Like the Lord told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so it's because of that new birth, that relationship, and then it's because of our fellowship. The Bible said in 1 John 1:3, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye say that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now, I'm glad to say that we can have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. We can come to the house of God and fellowship with Him here. But I want to say some of the most wonderful times you'll ever have is when you're alone with the Father. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to say some of the grandest times of my life that I had with my daddy was the time that he and I spent alone together. I didn't have to share him with nobody else. He was all mine for that little while. And you know something? When we get alone in fellowship with our Heavenly Father, He's all ours. We come to church publicly and we worship Him as our Father. We fellowship with Him in song and in prayer and in preaching and from time to time in the fruit of the vine and the breaking of bread. But we're sharing Him with everybody else that's here. But over those quiet times, when we can steal away into a corner somewhere in a quiet place alone with God. I've said this so many times, but time spent alone with the Lord is not wasted time. I don't care how long you spend, it is not wasted time. There needs to be more Marys in the church that will find their place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, humbling themselves at the feet of their Heavenly Father. And somebody said, "Well, how do you know the Lord was a father?" He told Philip that. He said, "Philip, how about it?" Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And the Lord said, "Philip, have I been with you so long of a time, and yet you have not known me?" He told the disciples themselves, he said, "I and my Father are one." More times than once he said that. More times than once he made it very clear to them that he was their Heavenly Father. And by the way, his delight is with the sons of men. There's no question about it. Jesus' delight is with the sons of men.
That's right.
But it was a delight for Christ to come into this world and to die on Calvary that he might bring many sons unto glory. You can read that in the book of Hebrews. And he's going to bring many sons into glory. You can count on that. And so, it's because of our fellowship, and we can have fellowship with the Father. Then I want to say, it's because of our likeness. You know, people look at me, I remember before Ballard Keeling died, he owned a supermarket in Underwood. Mr. Keeling looked at me a number of times, and he said, "Gary," he said, "as long as you're alive, Truman Hall will never die." And I've looked at my daddy's old pictures, when I had some of them to look at. Every time I'd go home, or a number of times when I'd go back to Mama's house, I'd want to get in that closet and drag out them old shoe boxes. That's what most people back when I was a boy kept pictures in. We've got some in them now, just an old shoe box. And I'd look at pictures of my daddy, think about my daddy and things that he used to do, some things I didn't care for, other things I did. But I'd look at those pictures and I thought, my, they're right. I do look like my daddy. And believe it or not, he had the same problem with this skin on his neck, brother, that I've got on mine. I'm telling you, we both have got that loose skin. And I'm just like him. When even from this big on up to the day you know that he died. We were just that much alike. Here's what the Bible said about our Heavenly Father. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love? Man, I'm telling you, God loved us to bestow upon us in such of a manner that we should be called the sons of God. Now, what he's saying is we don't deserve to be called the sons of God, but that is a great honor that he's bestowed upon us, that he's picked us out of the miry clay and saved us by his wonderful grace. He didn't have to save you and I. He could have left us in our sin, but he delivered us from our sin and brought us out and granted us birth into God's family. Now, if you can get a hold of that tonight, God is our Father. You remember what I said earlier? You can only have one. There's not two heavenly fathers. There is one heavenly Father. It's not Muhammad. And it's not Allah. And it's not any of that crowd. And I'm gonna, and by the way, I'm going to say this to you. You can say God to that crowd all you want to. But brother, when you start saying Jesus is God, they have a real problem with that. Now, Jesus is not only my Savior tonight, he's not only my brother tonight, but he is also my Father tonight. Amen. It would probably shock some of you to know that I believe, if I took a little time, I could take Scripture and prove to you that he even says he'll be a mother to us if we want him to be. God can be anything to you that you need, boy. And I'm telling you, when I was a boy growing up, I said, what I thought about my daddy, he could just do. We didn't have anything. Now, I didn't know it. If somebody hadn't told me, I'd have thought we was rich. But we wasn't. We was very poor, looking back on it. But back then, I didn't know. And then if I did know, I didn't care. But anyhow, the Bible goes on to say, therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, when? Somebody said, well, we're not going to know it till we get to heaven. The Bible said now, and I'm going to preach on that word one of these days. I'm going to preach, I've got a thought running through my mind on the word, in the fullness of time and now. The fullness of time and now. Oh, they're just about alike. I don't want to give it away, but I'm going to preach on that one of these days. But he said now. Not tomorrow. Not when we get to heaven. Brother, now. Now, I want to tell you something. To this Armenian crowd that believes you can lose your salvation. If right now I'm a son of God, do you think God would take one of his own sons and cast him aside and cast him into hell? I'm trying to give you some assurance tonight. If you know you've been to Calvary and you've been saved by the grace of God, and God is your Father and you've only got one and you're his son, and he said, now are we the sons of God. He is not about to put one of his sons or confine one of his sons to eternal damnation. I've not been damned. I have been blessed. And blessed abundantly. Yes, right, praise his wonderful name for the abundant blessings that he's laid upon my life. I give him all the praise and the glory for it. Now are we the sons of God. Now listen, and then it says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, and we're not guessing on this, but we know that when we see him, what? We shall be like him. Well, come, because we'll see him as he is. Now, one of the preachers, and this is kind of a stolen thing, it's not original with me, but one of the preachers said that he went to a meeting one time and the pastor told him, I believe Brother Ronnie Simpson. And he said, the preacher said, anything you'd like to see while you're in town? He said, I'd love to see that Corvette Museum. And so the preacher said, well, I'll take you to the Corvette Museum. They went there, said he started walking down a big long road and said he come to a piece of something laying on the floor and said he looked at that tour guide and said, is that a Corvette? And that guy said, no, that's not a Corvette. Said, that's just a chassis. And said he walked a little bit farther and said he looked and he said, is that a Corvette? And said the tour guide said, well, no, that's not a Corvette. Said, that's a transmission. And said he walked a little bit farther and he said, is that a Corvette? And he said, oh man, that's not a Corvette. That's just a rear end. And said he walked a little bit forward. And he said, is that a Corvette? And he said, that's not a Corvette. That's just a Fender. And it went on and on. Finally, they come to the end of the line. And he said, is that a Corvette? And said the tour guide said, that's a Corvette. Now, you take them all together, they don't look like a Corvette. But when you put everything in its place, it's a Corvette. And what I'm saying is, we may not look like everything that we're supposed to be right now. That's right. And somebody may look at us now and think we're a transmission, but I'm telling you, one of these days, when you get to the end of the line and we look like Him, we are going to be a Corvette. We're not just going to be a part of Him. We're not going to look a little bit like Him. We're going to look like Him. Corvette looks like a Corvette. Ford looks like a Ford, and a Dodge looks like a Dodge. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's right. And a child of God looks like a child of God. We take on the likeness of our Heavenly Father. Isn't that a blessing to know that God has created us spiritually in such a way that we're going to be totally transformed and then translated. We're already translated into the kingdom of God. We're going to be transformed into the likeness and the image of Christ. And we're going to be just exactly like Him. We're not yet. But I'm telling you, you've not seen the finished product. You're just looking at maybe the rear end or the transmission or the grill or something like that. We're not done yet. But one of these days, when we see Him, we're going to be like Him, like our Father. I mean identical. We're going to look like Him. Why? Because we're going to see Him as He is. Now, I want to say something here before we go any further, okay? I wonder about our fleshly fathers here tonight. Our fleshly daddies. Do you really have a good relationship with your children? Are you a father to your children? Do you have fellowship with your children? Are you really a daddy, a father? I got to thinking, what a blessing it is to have a father. I thought about Brother McGuire. And I could see the longing. I could see the sadness in his eyes as he told that story, that he did not know who his biological father was, that he walked through the projects just as a young man. And finally, God got a hold of him as a young man, got him in the house of God, and he got saved and called him to preach. Amen. But I can tell you, you could see the desire. Here's what he said to Brother Hall. He said, even in this meeting up there, he come to me. I said, well, I heard you got some more deer when Brother Simpson come up. He just smiled. That's all he did, just smile. And he said, Brother Hall, I want to say something. He said, that was a wonderful memory. I don't want to get ahead of myself. He said, I'll never forget the day that you were with me and I killed that big non-typical. He said, that's something I can look back on all of my life and with great joy in my heart and great blessing in my life. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many young boys is in this world today that will never have a memory like he's got, that'll never have a memory of doing anything with their father. I'm telling you, everybody needs a father. Everybody needs a heavenly father, that's for sure. Everybody needs to be born again. Everybody needs to be saved. That's the only way you'll ever have a heavenly father, is to get born again by the grace of God. You're going to have to come in repentance, trust in Christ to deliver you from your sins. Trust Him, nothing else, nobody else, Him and Him alone in order to be saved. That's right, and be bathed in the blood of the Lamb of God. You're going to have to come to Him and believe in He's your sacrifice. That's right. You've got to have a sacrifice. I'm telling you, are you listening to what I'm telling you? You have got to have a sacrifice in order to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Everybody's got to have one. No question about it. Everybody's got to have one. I learned something else up there. I'll throw this in. Brother Plato Shepherd was preaching on the tabernacle, and he's talking about when Adonijah ran in and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. And when Solomon was Ben and I were getting ready to fall on him and getting ready to kill him, well, Solomon let him off the hook one time, but he asked for Abishag to be his wife through Bathsheba. And Solomon said he just might as well ask for the kingdom as to ask for her. And he told Ben and I to go fall on him. When Ben and I came back, he said, he's hold of the horns of the altar. Well, the question was brought up, what altar did he have a hold of? Did he have a hold of the brazen altar of sacrifice out in the outer court? Or did he have a hold of the brazen altar of incense in the holy place? Well, that brazen altar out there, if you read it, the height, the width and the breadth of it, take a pretty good sized man to grab hold of the horns of that altar. And they were discussing it. Some thought it was a brazen altar and so on. And here's what I come up with. Why would Adonijah run to the brazen altar outside rather than run to the altar? That brazen altar on the outside was a place of sacrifice. That was a place of death. Had he taken a hold of those horns of that altar, they were taking hold of the horns of the altar of death. No, he went on the inside. He even bypassed the sacrifice, bypassed the labor, went into a place where he had no business going into, and took hold of the horns of the altar of incense. And I'll tell you why. Because that altar of incense is a type of prayers and a place of mercy. And he grabbed a hold of those horns in prayer, wanting mercy. But I'm going to tell you, mercy was gone. It was too late for mercy. And he lost his life. Now, I'm simply saying now that everybody needs a father. Amen. Are you a father in relationship, father in fellowship, and a father in likeness? How many in here? I've looked at Brother Gray back there. He looks like his daddy more every day, I do believe. And he does. He really does. You look at him, he'll look more like his daddy. And I don't know Brother Steve O'Berry is a spitting image of his daddy. I don't know everybody's daddy in here, but that likeness. Then I want to say fourthly, because of authority. Hebrews 12:6, the Bible said, for whom the Lord loveth, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now listen, three things. He loves us, but he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receives. Every son. Now he does that because he's got authority. God has authority over you and I, ladies and gentlemen. No doubt about that. He is the head. May I put it this way? He's the head of the family. It's his responsibility to apply correction and discipline when it's needed. And he does so. Every son whom he loveth, he scourgeth and chasteneth. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's not much pleasure when it happens, when it's taking place. But it does yield forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our life. Hey, it don't hurt to spank a child every now and then. But I'm going to tell you, the way the government is today, they've just about got people petrified to lay a hand on a child and try to correct it, afraid they'll spend 20 years in prison for correcting their own child. Government's got their hands in too many people's business. They've got their hands in the face of too many people. They need to butt out of our business and try to take care of theirs. If they would butt out of our business, they could take care of the business in Washington. The reason they can't take care of nothing in Washington, they're too busy trying to take care of something in Kentucky and other states. Take care of things up there and leave us alone. Amen. That's right. And by the way, it's not the government's responsibility to educate your children. It's yours. Amen. Come on in the house. We'll preach a little while. Now listen to what Hebrews 12:9 says. And I'll make my point and be done here in just a minute. Hebrews 12:9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which have corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? I'm going to tell you something. You can take that over how you want to take it. But I'm telling you, what he's saying is, we've got fathers that tan the seat of our britches. And that's right. My daddy tanned mine more times than I want to count. But I'm going to tell you something. Like the black snake whip deal, I ain't never let nobody try to snap a piece of paper out of my mouth. Never, ever again with a black snake whip. One time was all it took for my daddy correcting me of that. I've never done it again. And I'm going to tell you something. It's God's responsibility to chasten us and correct us. And fathers, it is your responsibility to chasten and correct your children. I'm going to say, everybody needs a father. You know why? Do you know why we got a bunch of youngins out on the streets tonight? There's kids out on the street, 7 and 8 years old, that their parents don't even know where they're at. You know why? They've got a jackleger at home that calls himself daddy and wouldn't know a daddy if he saw one. He's a drunk and a doper, amen, and a skirt chaser, and he doesn't know anything at all about being a real father. And I'm saying that every child needs a father, not just a man figure, but a father. And there's a lot of difference between a man figure and a father in the home. That father will take care of business when it needs to be taken care of. Now I want to say some things, and then because of his love. 1 John 2:5 said, But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Now, if we don't keep his commandments, the Bible said, we don't keep his word, we're a liar. We're a liar. Now, because of God's love, God loves us. God loves us. And we ought to love our children. I want to say a few things about an earthly father, about some things that an earthly father need to be a, every boy, every girl needs a father. A real father. What's a real father? What does he do? Well, number one, he teaches us valuable lessons. Teaches us valuable lessons. The Bible said in Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Now that tells me the father's got some kind of instruction to give us. And we are to listen to those instructions. Not turn a deaf ear. Not walk away like with this attitude. But listen to those instructions. You little young skunks in here that think you know it all. Didn't may, hey, mom and daddy has been down the road a little bit further than you have. And that's right. And father, hey, those kids need a father that will give them some instruction. Teach them some manners. Teach them how to work. Instruct them on how to work. Instruct them on how to be courteous to a man, or to a woman rather, in opening doors for them. Standing up on the platform when they come to the platform. A lady comes to the platform. I opened the door for a woman the other day. And she just walked on through and I said, you're welcome. I'm serious. That's a Cracker Barrel. She said, thank you, sir. I was up here at the jewelry store before Christmas. And we're looking around. Two women come in, had a chunk of gold. And they walked by me and I stepped aside and I said, pardon me, ma'am. At one turn, I said, don't call me no old woman. I said, ma'am, I didn't call you an old. I thought I heard her say, she thought I said, old woman. I was serious. I said, ma'am, I didn't call you an old woman. I called you ma'am. I'm trying to be courteous. You know why? I was taught to be that way. Amen. That's right. I was taught not to sass my mother. That's some pretty valuable instruction from a father. I'm going to tell you, we got mamas in here tonight that would have it a whole lot easier in the house if there was a father in the house. Every child needs a father. Not a man figure, but a father. Amen. That's right. And they do it because of valuable lessons that they're taught. Now, some other thing they teach. A father would teach, I think, his son to avoid sinners. Proverbs said in Proverbs 1:11, "My son," there it is again, "if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Oh, how many of you in here know, have been somebody that's tried to entice you when you were younger? Take a little drink. Smoke a little dope. Smoke a cigarette. It won't hurt you. No, it won't hurt you then. But once you get hooked on them, I'm telling you, they're a drug. You can say whatever you want to say. They're just as addictive as any drug on the market today, cigarettes are. And buddy, they're almost as hard to kick as any drug I know on the market. Hey, somebody say amen right there. I appreciate that. But instruct your children to avoid that crowd out there on the street. That crowd out there, hey, somebody said, "Well, I want to be like them." Why? What have they got to offer you? Nothing. And, hey, they need a father that will set them down and explain to them why they ought to conduct themselves in a courteous manner. I'm going to be honest with you. We need, children today need a father to set their children down and instruct them how to be a son and how to be a daughter and how to play the proper role of a son and a daughter in the house. The men work. The ladies cook. They iron clothes. That's right. The men go out and work. They make a living. They come home at the end of the day. They bring the paycheck in and she spends it. Say amen right there, lady. Amen. No, I'm saying that. But they're taught to avoid sinners. Don't let your children just run around with anybody. Do you let your children go home with just anybody? If you do, they need a father. Every child needs a father to help them avoid sinners that would entice them. I can remember the young boy jumping the fence at the old Scott County Fair and sneaking in under the tent in places I shouldn't be. You know what I'm saying? Sinners enticing you. I've been there. Hey, what about our earthly father? He teaches us some valuable lessons. He teaches us to be wise. Proverbs 4:11. The Bible said, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in the right path. Verse 13 says, take forth hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. For in the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. And then he teaches us because to be cautious with women. The Bible said, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than all. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down the path." I believe that's right if I can get this turn. "Go down the path, go down to death. Her steps taketh hold on hell." Strange women. Every child needs a daddy to help them with strange women. I'm going to tell you something, young men. There's somebody out there just waiting. The devil's got somebody out there just waiting to rob you of your virginity. Come on now. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a more blessed thing. And I'm not throwing brick, but I'm telling you, there's not a more blessed thing than to see a young boy and a young girl that's had a real father and a real mother walk that aisle and give themselves together in marriage as virgins. Amen. Go ahead. And then rejoice in all of your life with the wife of your youth.
Right.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Rejoice with the wife of your youth. When she gets a little older, just keep on rejoicing with her. Because guess what? You're getting older too, buckwheat.
Amen.
The old gray mare may not be what you used to be, but neither are you.
Amen.
Hey, and by the way, marry right the first time. In other words, get the right man. I just quoted the scripture, Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant robe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Always. Fellas, look up here. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I want it to be this way. If it comes time for me to die, and my wife still living, I want my children to be able to walk by my casket or come to me when I'm dying and say, Daddy, I want to thank you for loving Mama the way you loved her. I mean loving her, ravishing yourself. Oh, somebody said, when you get old, it's all over and done with. Friend, you're dumber than a box of rocks. We was driving home yesterday. Miss Hall looked over at me and said, honey, you know something? She said, we're living in the most precious time of our life. I said, you know something? You're right. It's wonderful to be this old and to have one another and to be able to converse with one another and communicate with one another and love one another. Love is not always in, you know, it can just be a little kiss on the cheek or a pat on the back or a thank you. Be always ravished with her love. I don't know of a more beautiful woman in the world than her. And somebody said, oh, you're just saying that. No, I'm not just saying, I mean that. I think she's the most beautiful woman in all the world. Somebody said, what about these young women? Well, to start with, I don't want them, and secondly, they don't want me. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I'll be ravished with her love. Now, here's the point I've been trying to get to this point all night. As a father, do things together. If I can say this to you, daddies, make beautiful memories today. When Brother McGuire laid his arm out across that pulpit and he said, they drew blood out of this arm from me, this arm from this man, twice. And twice they said, he's not your father. And I saw it in his eyes, how it saddened his heart to know there is a young man. It's a wonderful preacher and a real daddy to his children that does not know who his father is. He doesn't have a father. He doesn't have a father. He doesn't have a father to make memories with like some of you and I do, like I did and like you do. I'm going to tell you, you better make memories with him today. That's right. That's all you'll have to hang on to someday is in memory. You know some of the memories I've got of my daddy? You're going to laugh at this. I've got memories of me and him cutting firewood together. Well, no more. Whing, whing. That old saw. That old cross-cut saw. Backwards of him pulling, me pulling, him pulling, me pulling. I've cut up more ricks of stove wood with them old saws. And I remember one time we were down in the woods trying to get enough wood to keep warm. And believe it or not, we drove a car down there, an old Studebaker car. And we loaded that old car down with log. We sawed up blocks of wood and hauled it up out of them woods. And it's full. I'm talking about plumb full of stove wood, friend. Me and my daddy. I remember that. I'll never forget it. Make memories with your daddy. With your children, daddy. Make memories with them today. You know, another memory, I could tell you story after story about this. Daddy used to go out and hunt raccoons, and he'd always want one of us children to go with him. I've trapped through them, and he'd go. If that old dog got on a track, there he'd go with that. And he always had the lantern. And if he come to a limb, and he saw it, he'd pull it. You didn't see it. That limb would bust you in the lips, upside the head, across the feet. I'm telling you, he was on the move after that dog, but that dog had done sat down on that tree and had a coon up that tree. But I remember those nights. Those old dogs barking. Now I can still hear Daddy, stay with him, boy! Stay with him, boy! Stay with him, boy! Somebody said, that's stupid. No, that's having a father. That's having memories of father. I remember, and this is, some of you ain't even going to know what this is. But there was an old road that went back out behind our house. It was a mud road. Daddy used to live out there. It goes out and cuts a left, and there's a big, beautiful home built back in there now. But there's a spring of water down there. You cut that left and go up that old mud road. We'd ride back there on an old tractor. And Daddy would find what's called catnip. And my mama would boil it on the stove and give it to my sister when she had an upset stomach. And I can remember my daddy saying, now, son, we got to get the right kind. Now, here's the right kind. You find all this you can find. And we get that catnip and head back to the house. That's right. I can remember my daddy taking skunk grease, and pouring in my ear when I had an earache. Warm it and pour it in my ear when I had an earache. That's probably why this one's messed up today. Then my daddy had a sale barn. I've seen him set up on that auctioneer stand more than once, auctioning off little boxes of junk and riffraff and this and that. Me standing out there catching the bids. Hip, yeah. That's my memories. And I could go on and on and on. But I thought of Brother McGuire. He has no father. Without a father, he has no memories of a father. That's why I say every child deserves a father. Every child. And I urge you, Daddy, Father, to be more than a father. Be a daddy. Be a daddy as well to those children. Every one of them in here tonight and every one of them outside these walls deserve a father. But you'd be amazed at the number of abandoned. I'm thinking right now that little 5-year-old boy in that bunker with that idiot down there. I wish somehow God just reached down and turned that boy into the hook for about 10 seconds. I can't understand people like that, that would want to harm a little child. It's more than I can imagine. Every child needs a daddy. Let's stand.